Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is from the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 13, especially these words that Jesus speaks in the parable. The servants ask the master, "Do you want us to pull the weeds up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Words for today are disappointment, discouragement, dissatisfaction. Those are some of the feelings, some of the sentiments that are captured in this parable in our gospel reading for today. Disappointment, discouragement, dissatisfaction. These were some of the things that those large crowds of Israelites, those Galileans who came out to listen to Jesus tell this parable, and also his disciples, they all shared that same feeling, that sense of dissatisfaction and discouragement. The sense that things are not right. Things are not as they should be. Things should be different. Things should be better. That feeling of discouragement, dissatisfaction had been building and brewing for a long time among those large crowds of Israelites. That feeling had been brewing and building in Israel and among those Galileans for a long, long time. After all, they were people who believed that they deserved something different. They deserved something more. They deserved something better than this insignificant place that they were occupying there on the edge and the fringe of the world. After all, these people were the people of the promise. They were the people who were the descendants of Abraham. They were the heirs of God's covenant. And the state of the world that they saw around them was downright offensive. And it had been going that way and going that direction for hundreds and hundreds of years. Ever since they had lost their independence, ever since they had lost their kingdom, ever since they lost their place there at the center of the world's stage. For hundreds and hundreds of years, this had been going on and this had been happening among them. Ever since they had lost their place, living under the heels of Assyrians and Babylonians and Greeks and now the Romans, these pagans, godless Gentiles. It offended all of their sensibilities to be brought so low. It kind of makes you think about that once wealthy and proud family whose inheritance has been spent and exhausted. And now they are left with nothing more than their name and a crumbling estate that they can't keep up any longer. They were entitled to a place at the top of the podium, at the center of the stage, but now all of that is gone. These crowds of people who were feeling this way and thinking this way during the time of Jesus, they were being drawn out into the countryside and into the wilderness. They were drawn toward these prophet-like figures that would pop up from time to time. These figures that would show up and make these promises. They would say, "I am the one. I am the one who can make things different. I will make it right. I am going to make things better." Many of those people were especially drawn to Jesus as his name and as his reputation preceded him. But then, many of those people came away from him, disappointed, dissatisfied, discouraged. When the armies and the earthly power failed to materialize, when the message that he delivered failed to bring about some world-changing revolution, and those hated Romans remained in power, they were just as strong as ever. discouragement, dissatisfaction. It was there among those crowds, and it was even there among the disciples. They had that same feeling brewing in their heart. I mean, even though they were the ones who had that front row seat, they were the ones who had the inside track, they were the ones who were the first in line to hear the words and to see the teachings and the miracles of Jesus, they did not understand everything perfectly yet. But yet they did know one thing. They did understand one thing. They understood that this Jesus, he is the one. Out of all of those pretenders and contenders, he was the one who was sent from God. But yet, if he is the one, they wondered, why isn't our ministry catching fire? Why are so many of these people going away disappointed? Why isn't this the success that it should be? Is it us? Maybe they thought to themselves, is it us? Is it something that we're doing wrong? Why aren't things different? Why aren't things better? Why aren't things right? And this parable, these words, this message of Jesus, these are the same words that confront us today in the place of dissatisfaction, disappointment, discouragement that we occupy today. Because here we are, you and I, 21st century America. We are thousands and thousands of years away from the ministry of Jesus Christ, thousands and thousands of years away from the words of this parable that Jesus spoke. We are further away from that than those crowds were from that day than they lost their kingdom. They have hundreds and hundreds of years. We have 2,000 years that have passed since the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet, in this 2,000 years, you and I, we look at this world that we are in. And we see a field of wheat, but also a field of weeds. Yes, the church is certainly present in this world. The gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is proclaimed around the world far and wide. Over 2,000 years it has persisted. That is something that is truly incredible. It is something that is remarkable. But yet, in spite of all that, we look out over this world and we see that the weeds are just as rampant as ever. You know, the Roman Empire no longer rules over this world, but there are other empires out there that are just as awful, even worse. Empires of greed, power, empires of injustice, selfishness, godlessness, ugliness, all of these empires that hold sway in our world today. People who go toward keep the leaders and ideas that seem to offer solutions and seem to offer hope. There's no shortage of those in our world. You can find them all over the place. Those who will say, just follow me, just do what I say, and then it is going to be right. Things are going to be better. Selling false hope. Apart from the hope that our Lord gives. Many of these people searching this world, searching for some type of hope, looking for some type of solution. And many of these people who are looking for that hope will find themselves eventually here in the Christian church, following Jesus, among us, And we are the people in this world who are the heirs of those disciples. We are the ones who have that front row seat. We have that inside track. We are here in that line, hearing the words of Jesus, seeing his work, growing in faith, learning about his teachings. Some of us have been here for a lifetime, and maybe some of us are newcomers. But yet, even we find ourselves, like those disciples in our reading for today, we find ourselves susceptible to that dissatisfaction, the discouragement with our world, and also with the state of the church and the gospel and the Christian faith in our world today. Why doesn't the church occupy a more influential place? Why does it seem like our words are just being drowned out? Why does it seem like the faith and the church are shrinking? Why isn't there more success? Is it us? Are we doing something wrong? Why aren't things right? Why aren't things better? Here is Jesus in our reading today, in our gospel, saying quietly to all of this, saying quietly to all of us, to those Galilean Israelites, those big crowds that were coming out to see him, to his disciples, to our modern world, and to us, his people here in his church. Jesus saying quietly to us through this parable, when we ask, why aren't things better? He would say, it is. It is better. He who has ears to hear and he who has eyes to see, listen and look up and pay close attention. It is better. It is better. Even though there is still suffering and injustice and wickedness and selfishness and ugliness and evil all around us, it is better because we have hope. We have the hope of the one who speaks this parable to us, the one who came to this world to bring the kingdom of God, the one who came to this world to bring the good news of the gospel of God, the one who brings God's kingdom, the one who does God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. It is better because we have this one, the one who has been given for us. It is better because in the name of Jesus Christ, the groaning and the sighing and the prayers of this broken and sin-infected world are heard. The groaning and the prayers and the sighing and the dying of this world that is being crushed under that weight of sin, Satan, and death. It is better because of that one who not only hears those prayers, but he is the one who came to this world so that he himself would be on our behalf and for our sake. He is the one who would be crushed and crucified. He is the one who would be forsaken, and he is the one who would be buried, because he is the one who has the glory. He is the one who has the power. He is the one who rises on Easter morning. He is the one who has ascended on high. He is the one who is seated at the right hand of God, and he is ruling over all things in his glory and in his power. And he is there on your behalf and on my behalf and on behalf of all of his people in this world, interceding for us there at the right hand of God, interceding for us, hearing our prayers, our groaning and our sighing. And he is interceding for us as our Savior, as our brother, and as our friend. And he is the one who has planted his promise and his grace and his love in you and in your heart. And he is the one who calls you his beloved ones, his precious ones. And he looks after you. And he cares for you with such kindness, such gentleness, and such patience, and such love, that he desires that not one stalk of his wheat, not one kernel of grain, should ever be lost or uprooted. It is better because of all of this. It is better because of him. It is better because of his love and his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness that is yours right here and right now. Even though the weeds do grow and evil exists and persists all around this world, Jesus tells us, don't be surprised by that. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged because of it. Because what you see right now, this will not go on forever. It will be different. Things will change. Things will be made right. The evil exists in this world. Those seeds have been planted. The weeds are growing. Out there in the world, we even see the weeds growing up from time to time here in our church and in his church around the world. The disappointment, the brokenness, the hurt, pain, the suffering. And as we see those weeds growing all around us all the time, sometimes it's tempting for us as his people to want to turn and run and hide. Maybe to want to turn to other so-called messiahs who offer success or solutions or ways apart from Jesus, apart from his truth, apart from his cross, apart from his kindness and his grace and his love. Maybe sometimes we're tempted to want to turn and try to find a different world and try to find a different kind of solution apart from the ones that he has given us and the ones that we have. But there is no other truth than Jesus. There is no other way than him. There is no other solution. There is no other path than the one he has given us. There is no other way than him, his cross, and his resurrection. And there is no other reality, there is no other world than the one that he has given to us, the one that he has given to you right here and right now. You are exactly where he wants you to be when he wants you to be there. And you are there. You are here right now where you are supposed to be his. In the midst of all of this, to have his hope, to live with his hope, to be the witness of his hope, to bear witness to his love, his grace, his mercy that he has given to you. To speak his truth, to be light in the darkness and the evil that is around us. Even though you groan, even though you sigh, you suffer, even though you die, it all happens. All of this is happening in Christ. It is all happening in his victory. It's all happening in his promise. Promise of the one who says that there is a day coming. There will be a day when this one who has died, the one who has risen, the one who has ascended on high, the one who rules in glory, he is going to return. All things will be made new. It will be made right. It will change. It will be on that day good. He is going to raise you and all who are his to shine like the sun in his kingdom. on that day, there will be no discouragement. There will be no dissatisfaction. There will be no disappointment. Because that is going to be beyond anything we could ever imagine. The day when all will be made new. And we will know the satisfaction and fulfillment of all that is in Christ our Lord. In His name, in His grace we live, and in His hope we pray. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now may that peace of God, that hope that He gives, that lives in us, may this guard and keep your hearts and your minds in faith to Christ our Lord, to life everlasting.